The world system is and began at Babel, rebellion against God, and setting up their own system to replace God's system. And Roman culture still with us. If you're a lawyer in here, so much of our law came right out of Rome and Roman government. And Napoleon picked it up. Napoleonic laws, those of you that are from Louisiana, man, the whole Louisiana Purchase, many of those states still have Napoleonic law in it. And so here we see that the prediction that this kingdom would come and that a stone would come out of a mountain that was not cut with hands and would destroy this kingdom that was divided into. Now, Rome divided itself into an eastern and western half. And all of you know about that. Even two churches came out of it. The Eastern Greek Orthodox Church and the Church of the Roman Catholic Church resulted as a result of the split in Rome. And there were 10 provinces in Rome, the five toes. And he says that stone smote them. But beloved, let me tell you some exciting news. That prophecy has never been fulfilled about a stone smiting the Roman Empire and crushing it. Because when Jesus, who is this stone, now let's see if we can prove that. How do we know who the stone is? What's that stone all about? Well, God figured you'd want to know, so God tells you the answer so that we don't have to guess. Don't have to guess. Verse 44. In the days of these kings, and he's talking about the kings of verse 42, the 10 toes. Says there's going to be 10 toes on those feet which represent 10 kings. Up in verse 41, 42, 43. Says in the days of these kings, and those are the kings that we're reading about up here in Revelation, the beast had 7 heads and 10 horns. Those 10 horns represent those 10 authorities. A horn in the Bible represents authority. They're the 10 kings and their authority. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Well, it hadn't happened yet because these kings hadn't come in yet, which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it will stand forever. For as much as you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it broke down the pieces of the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, and the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, the interpretation sure. He says that that stone, now who is that stone? Well, it's not Simon Peter. It is Jesus, the chief cornerstone. All through the book of Psalms, it says there's a stone, there's a rock, that's the rock of our salvation. That's that stone, that's that rock that it's talking about. Jesus came the first time, did in fact, he stomped the Roman Empire and destroyed it like a stone out of a mountain. Did he? Spiritually, yeah. But he didn't physically. In fact, the Roman Empire put him on a cross by order from Pontius Pilate. In fact, so therefore this prophecy's never been fulfilled, therefore it has to be fulfilled. I got more news for you. The Roman Empire wasn't even divided into two parts when Jesus was here. That's another way we know this prophecy isn't true. Was not fulfilled when Jesus came the first time, rather. When Jesus came the first time, there was no eastern and western half of the Holy Roman Empire. But the point is that the kingdom didn't even split till after Jesus. So therefore, there has to come a time in history when there's a kingdom like this kingdom. In other words, we know in history which kingdom followed Greece. Now, chapter 8 tells us that third kingdom represented by the bronze was Greece. Chapter 8 of Daniel does. And we know in history that Babylon was the first world power from Daniel's time forward. Daniel was prophesying from Daniel's time forward. Babylon was first, and it says so in that prophecy when Daniel read it to us, read it to the king. We know the second world empire that conquered Babylon was Media Persia. We know the third one was Greece, and Daniel chapter 8 says it would be Greece. And all we have to do is check history and find out who took over next. Who was the next world power? Rome. Therefore, the two legs and the 10 toes have to represent Rome. But when Jesus was here and Rome was ruling, this prophecy wasn't fulfilled. Rome killed him. He didn't stomp Rome. In fact, Rome wasn't even divided in two, and there were not those 10 toes yet. Therefore, Messiah, the stone, has got to come with a Roman Empire, again, divided into two parts, an eastern and western half, that is made up of 10 kings and kingdoms. That's how we know it. Because every prophecy in the Bible must be fulfilled, and this one has not yet been fulfilled. Therefore, we also know then, and as we're getting in Revelations, that these 10 toes represent the 10 kings. Okay? Now, so chapter 17 is the destruction of religious Babylon. Now, chapter 18 is the destruction of political and economic Babylon. And God's going to do this one all by Himself. Okay? Let's quickly read this. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power. And the earth was lighted with his glory and cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Ha ha! Two fallens. Did you see that? Babylon the great is fallen. Do you remember in chapter 8, verse 13, we read, woe, 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 three woes, and they were literal woes. Three literal woes. Hence the repetition. And so what we're seeing here is, just like woe, woe, woe was three literal woes that actually happened, so this repetition here is significant. It is saying there will be two fallens. The religious system will fall, and we just read that, and it falls at mid-tribulation. Now we're right down toward the end. See, these two chapters begin with at the front of the tribulation, showing us how Antichrist came in with the false harlot system riding on him, dominating him. Just like the Babylonian mystery cults have dominated every political system they've ever been involved with. And now we get to the end, and God's going to wipe out the economics of the world and the politics of the world. The whole system, the system's going to go. And we're going to get a new deal that's going to beat Roosevelt's new deal all over the place. Okay? So that's the first fallen is the religious system. The second fallen is the political economic system. Let's see if God will back me up on that. Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Do you remember in Matthew 13? There were seeds sowed and the birds came down and ate them. The bird in that parable represented Satan. So that's what this hateful bird is about, Satan's activities. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. See, this is a system governing the world. And the kings of the earth, all the presidents, all these guys have committed fornication with this harlot system, which says we'll do anything for money. God, money's our God. Power. And the merchants of the earth were waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Notice the economics. See, we're starting to talk about economics. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. Like Lot, God's calling his people out. Now, this isn't the rapture. This is God calling his people out during this time. There's not much time left, God's saying. We're getting near. We've already had the harlot destroyed. Now we're getting near time for the end. God says, come out of her, my people. It's not worth making president of the company. It's not worth all this with your soul lost, you fool. He's saying, you can't build bigger barns. Tonight I may require your soul. Come out of this system. Okay? For her sins have reached up to heaven, and God remembered her iniquities. Reward her as she has rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup that she has filled, take her double. Now, do you remember we read in Jeremiah 25 about the wine of God's wrath, and that Babylon was the last nation that would finally drink of it? Okay? Now, I'm going to come to a point about Babylon. As I continue reading, I want you to consider the possibility of the city of Babylon being rebuilt. Notice where all the money in the world is right now. Those sheikhs, let me submit. I want you to begin to think about those sheikhs, what they're going to do with all that money. Let me tell you already, they're already talking about and have published in papers, thinking about rebuilding something at the old Babylon town site as a major tourist attraction with this oil money from the Middle East. They've been talking about that now for about 10 years. Okay? So what I'm saying is, the potential is that Rome will be wiped out as the capital of Antichrist, but also that the city of Babylon may actually be rebuilt. And we're going to look at some scriptures on that in the next few minutes, and that'll close us for tonight. But keep this in mind as we read, okay? That yes, Rome was called Babylon by the first church, but that God may also allow the old Babylon to be rebuilt. In other words, Babylon, that's where the Garden of Eden was. I mean, God's going right back to where sin started, where Babel, the Tower of Babel was, where Cain made his first sin of rebellion against blood sacrifice. It all started right at Babylon. And God's going to bring everything to bear at the last. He's going to lump it all together and say, I'm so sick and tired of Babylon, we're going to stomp this thing in the dirt once and for all. Down with the plains of Shinar. Okay? All right. And so he says, I'm going to make you drink of the cup of my wrath. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit as a queen, I'm no widow, and I will see no sorrow. Arrogance and pride. Nothing can bring me down. I'm the world system. Money, power, politics, pride, ego. I've got men tied up in it working day and night to get a big name and a big reputation, and they're going to die and their children aren't even going to know who they are. Their wives, they're going to pat dirt on your face and they won't even know you were there. You're working Saturday and Sunday. You're caught up in the devil's system so bad, you don't even know it. You think you're doing it for your wife and your children and everything, but it's arrogance and ego. You're trying to prove something to your mom and your dad and your college professors and the girl that jilted you. And none of them care. You know, I mean, you're trying to get promotions, hoping that, you know, some girl that jilted you or some guy that said you'd never make it way back yonder, and you're going to make it. They don't care about you. They've forgotten clean about you. A lot of you people in this room tonight have thought, in this very week, I'm going to show somebody. They don't really care that much about you. What's the matter with you? Only your pride and arrogance makes you think that people care that much about you. No one cares that much about you except Christian brothers and sisters. Get off that arrogance and ego. It's destroying you. I know. I rode those trips. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. God says, I'm going to bring judgment on this town in one day. I'm going to destroy the whole economic system of the world in one day. I'd hate to go up in the rapture with $500,000 in the bank. You're worrying about your money. You're worrying about your securities. It's all going to be gone. One day, God's going to wipe out the whole system. And he warned you about it just a few years ago when the gold system nearly collapsed. God showed you how he could do it in just a day. Because in one week, the entire world was in a panic over the gold crisis. God showed us he could do it. That was a warning. Hear me. That was a prophetic warning from God. You may not realize that, but I tell you by the authority of God, and I speak to you right now as a prophet, not as a Bible teacher. That was a warning. It's wrapping up. Those flash warnings in Scripture are without fail when judgment is about to fall. I don't tell you that to scare you. I tell you that to get you excited. God's not going to let this kind of garbage go on. You read your Bible. God, when countries and nations and people got to where we are right now in America, you may think America's real wonderful because we're not as bad as the rest of the world. But unfortunately, God doesn't grade on the curve. God's going to get his people out of this crummy place. And he's going to punish this country and every other country that's rejected the true gospel of love of Jesus Christ. Her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who is going to judge her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they say, see the smoke of her burning. Now watch this. All the kings of the world enjoyed watching the harlot system go up. They jumped in there and it was glee. They enjoyed watching the whore go, the false religious system. Religious Babylon, they all got a kick out of watching her go. Oh, but not our money. Not our political power. Man, we don't need any politicians. What we need is some statesmen. Anyone understand what the difference? I hope. Especially a Christian statesman. Almost something you can't even find. Talk about that, people don't even know what you're talking about. But it says, the kings of the earth, the same ones that enjoyed stomping the harlot, oh man, they don't want to see their money go. They bewail her and lament for her, and they say, see the smoke of her burning, and standing afar off because fear of her torment, they're afraid to get in there. Saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour her judgment came. God wiped her out in one lousy hour. And the merchants of the earth, see this economics? Of the earth shall weep and mourn over her because no man will buy their merchandise anymore. You know the number 666 in the Bible? Let me tell you this. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar's gold idol? Notice what he says here in verse 12. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, pearls and linen and purple and silk and scarlet and fine wood and all manner of vessels. Most precious wood and brass and iron and cinnamon and odors. Notice that these are all luxury items. You can't find any blue jeans here, no coveralls, no good leather shoes. These are all luxury items. See, just can't you just see the main stores? There's Joskies, you know. Here's and Neiman Marcus, man, is just, you know, all the big tycoons who've placed their faith in money and not in God. Here it all goes, all wiped out. And wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and the bodies and souls of men. That's what they've been merchandising. Do you see that in verse 12, the merchandise of gold? Do you remember that Nebuchadnezzar's idol was made of gold? Do you remember that God says, watch out for 666? Well, see, Nebuchadnezzar's statue and making people worship it was a sneak preview of coming attractions when the Antichrist will make people worship his idol. Remember, the idol was 60 feet tall, 60 cubits tall, 6 cubits wide, and there were 6 musical instruments playing. 60, 6, and 6, a sneak preview. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 13, Solomon had gold. And it numbered the talents of gold he had, and it said it was 666. And so here we see that God is pointing out to us that many men have worshipped a god of 666 for years. It's called gold, money. God says there's nothing wrong with money. It's when you worship money. The love of money is the root of evil, not money itself. Money, it just sits there. I mean, it's just like a statue. A statue isn't sinful in itself. It's when you begin to pray to the thing that it becomes sinful. When it becomes an idol, you start praying to me and see if you think you're worshiping me. I'll get you off your knees fast. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from you, and all things that were dainty and godly and goodly are departed from you, and you will find them no more. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off in the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great a riches has come to nothing. Nothing. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto that great city? And they threw dust on their heads and cried and wept and wailed, saying, alas, the great city wherein we were made rich, and all the ships of the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Now observe, all the people of the world are weeping and oh, it's just like the, hey, you know what this is? It's the depression of the 30s. People are jumping out the window, all our money's gone, our stock's no good. Men, the people of the world, they're just moaning and groaning. But look what happens in heaven. Verse 20, rejoice over her, those of you in heaven. Heaven rejoices, the earth weeps. And you holy apostles and prophets, because God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel stood up and took a millstone, a stone like a great millstone, and cast it in the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and be found no more. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more in you. No craftsman whatsoever shall be found in you. This is the end of all economics. It's the end of the political system. It's the end of the merchant system that's going on today. It's over. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in you. And the light of a candle shall shine no more in you at all. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. And by their sorceries, thy sorceries, Mystery Babylon, were all nations deceived. Beloved, men have worshipped the system. The system's been their idol. The stock market, jobs, love of prestige, promotions, power. That's what men worship. And God says that's a poisonous charm. And all nations have been led astray by it. And God says, I'm putting this to the end. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Now, beloved, very quickly, I want you to turn to Isaiah 13. And let's just check in on this and finish this up. Isaiah 13 and see what we think about Mystery Babylon. Is Babylon going to be rebuilt? There's a very good possibility. I don't want to get too killing dogmatic about it. But I want you to begin with me very quickly. At verse 13, verse 1, chapter 13 of Isaiah, verse 1. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Verse 4. The noise of a multitude in the mountains as of a great people, a great noise of kingdoms and nations gathered together. And the Lord of hosts has mustered the host for battle. This is a double reference prophecy about the fall of the original Babylon when Daniel was there and the one that's coming. Watch how we can tell. I've already taught you about two great phrases in the Bible. The phrase, the indignation, and the phrase, the day of the Lord, as being a period of time that comes right at the end of the 7 years tribulation, that begins a 1,000-year day of a reign on earth of Christ, which ends with new heavens and new earth. That is the day of the Lord, a day of 1,000 years that begins at the end of the tribulation and ends with new heavens and new earth. Okay? So here we go, verse 5. They come from the far country, this army, from the ends of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of His indignation to destroy the land. Wail, verse 6, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Now we know when it's talking about a future fulfillment. Not only a fulfillment of Babylon when Daniel was there, but also we see here a future, a second reference to this prophecy. It will come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint and every heart melt. That's what we were reading about, all those people wailing. And they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold on them. They will be in pain like a woman that is travailing in birth. They will be amazed at one another, and their faces ashen. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and God will destroy the sinners out of the land. Only sinners will enter the thousand-year... saved people will enter the thousand-year reign. See that verse? That teaches that. For the stars of heaven and the constellations shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened from its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine, and I will punish the world because of its evil, and for the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughty of the terrible. And I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than a golden wedge of Ophir. In Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, it says women are going to come up to men and say, oh, look, I know you've got, let me be your wife. I won't even demand anything of you. Just give me a name. There's no men to go around. But so many men are going to die in this period of time. Therefore, I will shake the heavens of the earth, and the earth shall, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will remove out of her place. Okay, verse 19. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms and the beauty of the Chaldeans' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and it will never be inhabited. Now, there's a possibility that prophecy has already been fulfilled in part. It has, but it's talking about the day of the Lord. I'm not going to read this one to you, but if you'll look at Zechariah 5, it talks about a period of time when in Babylon a temple is going to be built, in Zechariah 5. Now, here's what I think. And I'll close with this. Here's what I submit that we have read about in Revelations. That according to our picture, we are talking about the destruction of two cities, I believe. Rome and Babylon. That Babylon will be rebuilt. Now, I don't see Babylon as becoming this great city in Revelations 18 where all the merchants and the sailors could see it, because Babylon is 200 or 300 miles inland from the nearest water. I can't see how the sailors would watch it. Rather, here's when I compare Zechariah 5 to this, let me tell you what I believe that the Scriptures are trying to say to us. And this will close us. That Antichrist comes into Rome, the city of seven hills, with this harlot dominating the false religious system. And that Antichrist allows that system to flourish for a period of time. During the first 3.5 years, I believe the harlot system moves its headquarters out of Rome and establishes the religious headquarter at Babylon. I believe they will rebuild a city there. I don't think it will be, it's my personal opinion now, I don't think it will be a city like London or, you know, a great city like London or Rome or Paris or New York City, but it will be the center of world religion. The harlot will set up at Babylon. And Antichrist is going to rule from Rome. I think that's what we've read. And that at the midpoint, Antichrist sends the armies, these 10 kings that are under him, send their armies to Babylon and destroy the false religious system and all their priests and all their little prophets and all that jazz. Burns them out. And that was chapter 17, the destruction of mystery Babylon, the false harlot religious system. That when it says Babylon is fallen, the first Babylon fallen is talking about the real city that I believe will be rebuilt with a temple. Zechariah 5 says a temple will be built there. And that chapter 18, where the sailors could all see this great commercial city being destroyed in one day, that was the commercial center of the world, which was the city of seven hills, mentioned in chapter 17, that is Rome. In other words, Antichrist will set up his political kingdom at Rome. When he becomes the object of worship, he will bring the religious capital back to Rome, which for a short period of time left Rome when the harlots set up and built their temple at Babylon. I believe that's what we had. So just like Babylon put the Hebrew children in a fiery furnace because they wouldn't worship the world ruler's image, Nebuchadnezzar, that's exactly what the Great Tribulation is going to be like. The children of God are not going to worship. This guy's going to put them in a fiery furnace. But the good news is that God wins. Hallelujah. Next time, really, is what I've been waiting to get to. The last